and that fella sings another song. I'm not for sale. Boy, that's a good one. If you never heard that one, you need to hear that song. I'm not for sale. It's a good one. We got too many Christian God's people selling out. Amen. And God doesn't want us to sell out to nothing but to the truth. All right, let's go ahead and get our Bibles this afternoon. And take your Bible and turn to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 20. And let's stand together, please, as we honor the reading of God's word this afternoon. 2 Kings chapter 20. And we're going to read the first seven verses together. 2 Kings chapter 20. And we'll read the first seven verses together this afternoon. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Now, what I want to do this afternoon is I want to take a look at the life of a man by the name of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was a king of Judah, and he was a contemporary of the prophet Isaiah. And the Bible tells us when you read about Hezekiah that he was a good king. He was a good man. And he walked in obedience to God's command. If you were to go back and read in 2 Kings chapter 18, you could read about some of his accomplishments and his greatness as a king. But here in this chapter, we read where Hezekiah took sick. And it was a bad sickness. It was such a bad sickness that the Bible says that he was sick unto death. And Isaiah was instructed to go tell him to get his house in order because you're going to die. And then King Hezekiah turns to the wall and he begs God to heal him. The Bible says he has some type of boil. I don't know what it was, something like a cancer. But in verse number 7, you read about that. God heals King Hezekiah and then he gives him 15 more years to live. Now, that's a wonderful story, isn't it? That really is a great story. I mean, how would you like to be assured that I'm going to live 15 more years because God said I am? It's like the fellow that came talking to his friend that time, and he was crying. And the guy said, What are you crying about? He said, Well, I just got back from the doctor, and he said, I got 6 months to live. He said, You shouldn't be crying. I don't know if I've got that. Nobody does. But listen, this man has served God. And he had done great things for God, and he was sick unto death, and God gave him 15 more years. And you would think, man, anybody that would have that happen to him would certainly draw closer to God after experiencing an ordeal like that, wouldn't you? But is that what happened with Hezekiah? That's not what happened to him. As a matter of fact, 2 Chronicles 32:25 says, But Hezekiah render not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. The Bible says that he responds to this great healing in pride. The title of my message this afternoon is Some Lessons Learned from the Life of a King. And I'm just going to give you four things that you and I can learn from Hezekiah and this terrible reaction he made to God giving him something and God doing something for him so miraculously. And these things don't necessarily go together. They're sort of an eclectic bunch of points. But maybe one will hit you, maybe two of them will hit you, maybe all of them will hit you, but something will hit you. I think there are some great lessons that every one of us in here as a Christian can learn from this great healing that God gave this man, Hezekiah, and then his sinful reaction to it. And you and I can be warned, you and I can be instructed, and I'm sure that some of these points or one of these points will hit us in the heart here this afternoon. I hope it will. And God will do something for us today. That's what I'm praying. Let's do bow our head and close our eyes. Brother Eddie, would you pray for me? And then everybody can be seated. Yes. 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 Please, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Brother Eddie. All right, you can be seated here. Here we go. Let's just jump off right into it. How about that? Amen. Number one, this is something I learned from reading this story in the Bible. You and I need to be careful about what we pray for. Are very careful about the fact that we don't want something too bad. You understand? Be careful about what you pray for or yearn for or want something so bad that all you can do is get fixated on it and think that your life is over or your life cannot possibly be complete if you don't get this prayer answered or for God to do something for you. Because listen to me. Do you realize that if Hezekiah would have went on and died initially when the Lord told him to die, you would not have read one negative thing about that king in your Bible. All of the bad stuff that shows up happens after he's given an extra 15 years. I'm going to tell you something else. It was after he was given these extra 15 years, he has a son. Any of you know that son's name? I bet you do. It's Manasseh. You know what the Bible said about Manasseh? He was the most wicked king in Judah's history. The Bible actually said that it was because of the sin of Manasseh that Judah was going to go into the Babylonian captivity. Do you realize if he would have died, then he would not have had Manasseh? He would not have got lifted up in pride? Now listen. You and I can get to a point where we want something so bad or pray for something so much that we don't take a no from God or we don't surrender it to God. What is it that God said no about? Or what is it, do you think, if God doesn't answer this prayer and do this for me, I am not going to be able to go on? And you don't even realize that somehow or another, the fact that God hasn't answered that prayer is really for your benefit. The fact that God hasn't given you what you want him to give you is really helpful. And the fact that you think that you can't possibly either go on or be happy and satisfied and a productive Christian is a fallacy, and that proves why you don't need whatever it is you want, because Jesus Christ is enough. Amen. If you've got Jesus Christ, you don't need anybody. Amen. Now listen, I'm glad that I've got a wife. I would do very poorly without a wife, and I've had one for almost 30 years. But I don't need a woman, and she don't need a man. She's got the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We think, I've got to have that job. I've got to have that home. I've got to have this thing, particular thing right here. I've got to have, you just fill in the blank here tonight. Whatever it is you think I've got to have and I've got to have, and you pray and you pray and you pray about it. Has it ever just occurred to you now that God may be doing you a favor by not giving it to you? And that whatever you think in your mind, how it's going to make you happy and satisfy you, you don't know the whole story behind it. And maybe God is just simply trying to get you to a place of contentment tonight where you say, God, I don't care. If you give it to me, that's fine. If you don't give it to me, that's fine. My happiness doesn't depend on whether or not you answer this prayer and give me everything I want. My happiness depends and fulfillment depends upon you. And if you have Jesus Christ tonight, my friend, I want to tell you something. You've got enough. You don't need a new wife or a new husband, or some of you may want a new husband, but you don't need a new one. You don't need a new job. You don't need a new location. You don't need anything. You've got everything you need. The Bible says Jesus, who is our life, not the reason we live, which is the reason he is true, but he is our life. He's everything. We don't see the future. You know, I've heard people say, you know, if I could just get $1 million, I'd probably just pray if God would just, listen, man, it wouldn't do you no good. We're so greedy, we'd want $2 million. Be like Rockefeller said years ago. He said, well, you know, somebody asked him, when's enough? He said, well, you know, $1 million don't go as far as it used to. And that's about years and years ago when it did. You and I are never satisfied with enough. Have you ever done a study of these people that win the lottery? I have. Some of those useless documentaries I watch. I talked to you about this. Me and Eddie's full of all kind of nonsense and ain't going to help nobody, but we know it. Amen. Becky and Darby have to put up with that stuff, but sorry for you ladies. But listen, man, you know what happens? You ought to read about that stuff. Do you know what they think? They think God answered my prayer, and he didn't. God cursed you. You got cursed money. They think, boy, this is going to satisfy everything. Now I got $50 million or $75 million, and all your kinfolk come out of the woods and all these friends you didn't even know you had. And they're bombarding you and bothering you. And then you got money that wasn't earned right. They wind up in divorce. They wind up broke. They wind up with mental problems. They wind up on drugs and alcohol. Study them. Let me tell you something. You may think tonight that you know what you want and you know what you need and you know what would be the best for you, but you don't, outside of the revealed will of God. And I've lived life long enough, and I'm only 53 years old, and some of you's lived it longer than me, and you know, but I can tell you, I've lived life long enough to know that many of those things I thought I had to have and were great of a great importance were not at all when I got them what I thought they were going to be. You need to be very, very careful tonight about wanting something so bad or just going to, I can't stop praying for it. I can't be like Paul the Apostle. When he's praying, he wanted his thorn in the flesh to go. He wanted it gone. But when God said, my grace is sufficient, basically, I'm not taking it away, but I'm going to get you through it. You don't read about where he prays about that anymore. Now, I'm not telling you not to pray about stuff tonight. I'm not telling you not to ask God about stuff tonight. I'm not saying that at all. Thank God he does give us a lot of what we want, and he does answer prayer. I'm telling you, you better listen to me tonight. You may not think this is particularly a revival point, but it will help or ruin your life if you don't get a hold of this. You better keep whatever that is in your heart that's consuming you tonight that you want so bad and want to see God answer so bad or give you so bad. You better keep that surrendered. As you start trying to orchestrate and work things out, and the God says, okay, I tried to tell you, have it. Well, God, I don't want it. No, no, no. You've wanted it for years. Now have it. And then you find out that the greatest thing God was doing for you was to keep you from having it. Hezekiah. Now listen, I'm not going to give him a hard time. If somebody come in and said, boy, you fixed and check out of here, I would have went to crying and praying too. I would have turned to the wall and asked God to give me more time too. I'm not criticizing him. But he didn't even know that God was doing him a favor by taking him on out. All right, number two, I'm going to tell you something else you and I can learn from this story. This is a great story. Number two, not only should we learn that we need to be careful what we pray for, or we should never want something so bad that it begins to supersede the will of God for our life and our desire for his will in our life. But number two, we should always make sure that we make the most of our second chances. Let me tell you something. This man right here was given a great second chance, wasn't he? I mean, he had a death sentence given to him. He was terminal. And when God says you're terminal, you're terminal. And listen, there was nothing, there was no cure out there. There was nothing that they were experimenting with and going to put him on a trial and see if it worked for him. Nothing like that. He was going to die. And you know what happened? He prayed to God. And listen, this is what God did for him. He said, Isaiah, go back in there and tell him that I've heard his prayer. Not only am I not going to take him, I'm going to give him 15 more years. Now, that's quite the survival rate, ain't it? He said, I'm going to give you 15 more years. I don't know about you, but from a man that had a death sentence to 15 more years, do you realize, Brother Andrew, what he could have said? He could have said, okay, all right, thank you, Lord. I got 15 more years. I know that I've got 15 more years. I'm older now. I've been through some things. This could be the greatest 15 years of my life. I've seen God work in my health. I've seen him work in my life. I got 15 more years to serve God and do something for him. But he didn't respond like that. He did not make the most of his second chance. Now listen, all of us in here that's been saved, we've been given a second chance. Amen. Everybody in here that's been saved, I mean, we were on our way to hell with a terrible, good-for-nothing life, but God saved us and he gave us a second chance. But I'm not talking to lost people per se here this afternoon. I'm talking to saved people. Is there anybody here tonight that could say, you know what? I got saved when let me just tell you my testimony. I got saved when I was 9 years old, genuinely saved, but I was not raised in a Christian home. My parents didn't take me to church. They didn't go to church. My daddy was not saved. My mama was, but she wasn't doing anything with it. My dad was a terrible alcoholic. I didn't get to go to church. And I'm telling you, from the ages of 12, of about 12 to 18, there is no way in the world you'd ever been convinced I was saved. I backslid as a teenager. But thank God, at the age of 18, I repented and the Lord began to deal with me. And I came back, and this is what we call it in the Southern Baptist Church where I was raised. We call it rededicating your life. Actually, it's just repenting and getting right. But we call it, in the Southern Baptist term, is rededicating your life. And at the age of 18, I came back and rededicated my life to the Lord. Now, listen to me. I ain't been perfect since then. I've had some bumps in the road. But from 18 to standing up here tonight at 53, I have served the Lord from then on. Amen. The Lord gave me a great second chance. After my Christian life, I was not a good teenager. And maybe there's some here tonight. You got saved, and maybe you were raised in a good home and had a good start, and you got out, like many of us do, and you didn't do right. You didn't live right. Maybe some of you's got some scars from it, emotional scars, physical scars, financial scars, mental scars. Okay, all right. I hate it for you, and I know you hate it, and I wish it hadn't happened. I wish you hadn't done it. I wish I hadn't done it. I really do. But listen to me. If you're in that boat here tonight, all you can do thinking about that stuff is get depressed about it and get overwhelmed, and it won't help you a bit. You have to put that under the blood, amen, confess it, and go on. And every time the devil reminds you of that, I saw this shirt that came out in the 90s that said, the next time the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Amen. And listen, you know what you need to do here tonight? Listen to me now. I can't do one thing about yesterday. And if I don't know who you are, I don't know your personal life, but if I happen to be talking to somebody here tonight that's really blown it, let me tell you something. God's given you a second chance. Don't you and I do with it what Hezekiah did with it. If he's given you, he didn't kill you in your sin. He didn't let you get so messed up in your mind and your body and your sin. He put you in this church here tonight. He's given you a second chance with your family, with your friends, with your job, most importantly with your church, but most importantly with your Lord. You make the most of your second chances. God's healed you or bailed you out of something or kept you alive from a serious wreck or problem. Make the most of it. Maybe there's someone here tonight. I don't know. This is just in my notes. I don't know who's here and who ain't and who's going to hear this later or whatever. I don't know. But maybe there's someone here. Listen, I don't like it's terrible, but we blow it in ministry sometimes. Preachers have moral failures, and not just moral failures. They just mess up, do stupid things in the ministry. I hope I've learned some things. You know, every trouble I've ever had in the ministry wasn't somebody else's fault. A lot of it was mine. Just not having enough sense to know how to deal with things. Hopefully I've learned some things. But listen, if you've had a ministry or lost a ministry or something happened and God's given you another chance at ministry, praise God. Just make the most of it this time, okay? Just make the most. Don't dwell on the past, but learn your lesson and make the most. You know, I was back there in that office praying about this message, but I'm very much convinced now I got the message. I don't know if you feel what's sitting over here, but it's getting real quiet and real sober in here because that's the way it's supposed to be. And the Lord's bearing witness with different people, and I don't know what's going on because, like I said, I don't know nothing about some of you, but I can feel it in the room, brother, and I'm not talking about no charismatic stuff or any crazy stuff like that, but God is dealing with some people in here, and I don't know who you are. But you better be listening to this. Now, I had a fellow in my church some time ago, and he was a preacher's son, and he had been out for a long time, 20-something years, and the scars of living out there in the world was all over him and on his body and everything else, and we met him on visitation and found out that his daddy had been a former pastor of the church where I was pastoring some many, many, many years ago. And that fella got back in and rededicated his life and come back to serve the Lord. And he bears some scars and he bears some troubles and he's got some emotional problems. And I've had to talk to him on the phone for a long time, different times, talking him through some things because of addictions and things that he struggled with. Even though he's gotten his life right again, he's still dealing with them. But I'm going to tell you one thing about it. God gave him a second chance to serve him. And God's given you a second chance. Don't blow it. Amen. All right, point number three, and this is a tough one. This is a tough one. Sometimes it's better to be sick than it is to be well. Amen. Who in here enjoys being sick? You do? You get to miss school, is that why? Okay. Well, I'm going to give you that one, son, but as you get older, there's no school to miss, and you'll miss other things. But, you know, I heard a fellow say one time, he said, sometimes I miss jail. He'd been in jail a lot because when he was in jail, he was humbled, and he was seeking the Lord and had a different spirit. Do you know that when Hezekiah was sick, when he got that terminal diagnosis and he was sick, there wasn't nothing puffed up about him then. Wasn't nothing prideful about him then. Wasn't nothing wanting to do his own thing then. He was weeping and he was humble and he was crying out to God for mercy. Now I know that Charles Stanley doesn't preach out of the King James Bible, and he's not a Bible believer like we are. And some of you may disagree with this, and that's all right. I've been preaching long enough to now. I just don't really care. Charles Stanley's got a lot of great messages out there. I don't know if you ever heard them, but he's preached some great stuff and some stuff that's been a big help to me in my life. And Actually, if you study about his devotional life and on, he's probably closer to God than a lot of Bible believers. Ain't that something a fella can be closer to God that don't even have the book, and we got the book, and we... Anyway, I won't get into all that. But Charles Stanley said something one time that was good. He said some of the times in his life where he was the closest to God was in a hospital bed, flat on his back. Now, I want some of you to think about some times when you were real sick. Now, listen to me. Some of you heard me share my story about my breakdown I had. And I won't go back into that, but I'll just tell you, I have been physically sick, and I have been mentally sick. And I'm going to tell you something. Those hard times in my life, I've never was closer to God than then. You ain't thinking about, what am I going to do tomorrow? How am I going to make more money? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? It's a lot easier to keep your mind clean, men, when you're suffering. You know what? I don't know who I'm talking to here tonight, but I've preached to people with all kind of problems of terrible operations and problems with their back and problems with their neck and injuries from work and cancer reoccurring and heart problems and strokes and all kind of stuff. And you know what you pray all the time? And listen, I'm not giving you a hard time. I prayed it too. All you ever pray is, God, heal me, God, heal me, God, heal me, God, heal me. And if he healed you tonight, it might be the worst thing he could do for you. You mean to tell me you think you're better than Hezekiah? You think you're going to respond better than him? We might not. We might do just as bad or worse. Maybe God has allowed the sickness because it helps you to stay closer to him. And I've said this for years. Anything that humbles you is good for you. And maybe he hasn't allowed you to be well because he wants you to be well spiritually. I know that he's done that in my life. I know that he's done that in my life. And I'm telling you, sometimes all of you think, boy, if I didn't have this sickness, if I didn't have this pain, if I didn't have these financial problems and relationship problems, and if I just didn't have this burden, I could do so much more for God. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You'd do so much more for yourself. But when God allows us to go through pain and hurt and heartache, then we get to focus on him. And Hezekiah was in much better shape dying than he was getting 15 more years. And I want to say one final thing here this afternoon. The last thing you and I had better learn from this story is that great men of God can backslide. I don't care who you are. You can read about King David. You can read about Hezekiah. You can read about all these different men in the Bible who blew it. And some of these men blew it bad. You know, we're quick to say sometimes that, well, a fella, he was a false prophet, and God really didn't call him, and he really was just a shyster from the beginning. No, not necessarily at all. I believe many of them are called by God, just like anybody else, and they start out, and they love the Lord, and they mean business, and they're sincere. But something gets stuck down there in that heart. They get to fooling around with something, and something gets in their mind and gets over, and they don't resist it, and they don't fight it. And it turns into 6 months of it, and a year of it, and 2 years of it, and 3 years of it. And finally, it just comes out. But listen, what comes out to the public has been happening in private for a long time. It just hasn't been exposed. And listen, don't you dare be self-righteous. Any of us are capable of doing it. Any of us. My old wicked, sinful flesh is there just as strong as it's ever been. I'm just trying to feed the inner man so it will get stronger. But I guarantee you one thing that's never going to happen unless I die is that old flesh ain't going to get no weaker. Until, as the songwriter said, this robe of flesh, I drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. That's the only time I'm going to be rid of it. But until then, I'm always going to have sin within me wanting to do evil. And any of us in here can do it. Any of us in here can do it. Any of us can backslide. Any of us can really get messed up. I don't care who you are. And even things that you don't even think you'd be tempted with. There's some men that I've seen, and I've asked God, why, how, what? In other words, when I hear about a man that messes up in the ministry, sure enough, first thing I do is feel sorry and pity for him. I go to talking about him like some of the brethren do. And I pray for him, and I say, God, please help him, restore him, and help him to get that thing right. And then I sit down and say, okay, God, I know this man. And unless he's got me deceived, I believe he's a good man. I believe you had your hand on him and you were using him. God, what did he do to get here so that I don't do it? I consider myself. Because I've got my own proclivities to do evil and to do wrong. Where are those things going to lead me eventually if I leave them unchecked? Because it always gets worse. It never stays the same. Either you deal with it and get better, or it gets worse. Now, I do have some good news about Hezekiah, okay? Praise the Lord. This is good news about him, and I hope I can say it about any of us. It appears that, thank God, that Hezekiah repented of his sinful pride, and he got right. And as far as I can tell, in the Old Testament sense, he died in the right relationship with God. Because 2 Chronicles 32:26 says, notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Ain't that something? When the leader got right, the nation got right. He said he humbled his heart. So praise God for that. I wonder if anybody in here is going to humble their heart and say, okay, there's a man, a great man in the Bible, and God did something real great for him, and he blew it. Yes, yes, he got right toward the end. Thank God for that. Now, I want you to think about a few things once again. Do you think it would have been better off for Hezekiah to go ahead and die than to live 15 more years and all this mess come up? If God come to Dennis Knowles right this moment and said, I can take you right now and fellowship with me, or I'll give you 10 more years or 12 more years or 15 more years, but on down the road to live, but you're going to mess it up. I say, God, take me out. Find somebody for Andrew to finish this thing. I want to leave now. I don't want to mess up. But if he went on and gave you the 15 years anyway, you ought to make the most of your second chance. And some of you, I don't know who I'm talking to and what illnesses you have and what problems you have, but listen, God's not picking on you and not trying to mistreat you because you're chronically ill or facing whatever you're facing. He's doing it to draw you closer to him, and you're probably in better shape with this illness than without it. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're doing pretty good walking with the Lord. Just because you're walking with the Lord right now doesn't mean you're going to be walking with the Lord tomorrow. Any of us can mess up. Any of us can fall. You need to get a hold of that. And by all means, you better listen to me. Whatever it is you think, I've got to have it, I've got to have it, I've got to have it. You want it so bad that you're getting unsurrendered to God in your heart and you don't even realize it. You better be careful what you pray for. You better be careful about wanting something too bad. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and bow our head and close our eyes, and I'm going to